From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Rather than taking up urgent issues like the scourge of gun violence, say, Congress this week is instead going to debate a bill that would overturn many of the last vestiges of protections against predatory banks. A Senate vote of 67 to 32 pushed the bill, S-2155, to the floor for debate, amendments, and possibly a vote. Among those who voted yes were 17 Democrats, including Hillary Clinton's vice presidential pick, Senator Tim Kaine. The bill is officially titled the Economic Growth, Regulatory Relief, and Consumer Protection Act, but critics like Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are dubbing it the Bank Lobbyist Act, as it seeks to overturn so many consumer protections. Joining me to discuss what is in the bill is Bartlett Naylor, financial policy advocate with Public Citizens Congress Watch Division. Welcome to the program, Bartlett.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So just the name, Economic Growth, Regulatory Relief, and Consumer Protection Act sounds so nice, but like so many bills that have these euphemistic names, the devil is in the details. What exactly does this bill do in broad strokes?
In broad strokes, it removes oversight of some of the largest banks. It allows mid-sized banks up to $10 billion to gamble with depositors' money. It eliminates, a dozen or more consumer safeguards, such as purchasers for mobile homes, manufactured housing, people that need to get appraisals for their homes or have some of their money set aside in an escrow account for insurance and property taxes so they aren't surprised at the end of the year and are unable to pay their mortgage payment. So roughly 40 provisions, of which two or three arguably move the ball forward and truly are consumer protection, but none of them, I think, meet the title of this bill of economic growth. I think they set us down the path towards another financial crisis.
Now, the Dodd-Frank bill, which was passed in the wake of the last recession, which became President Obama's signature Wall Street Regulation Act, you know, protecting from future such recessions, which was already a very modest bill and certainly didn't do enough to return us to the sort of Glass-Steagall Act levels of protection. How much of this bill undoes Dodd-Frank?
Well, its credit, this bill is not the cataclysm that it might have been that Republicans had wanted. Hence, it does have, as you mentioned, 17 Democrats that are supporting it. I would say the single most dangerous part is of the nation's 38 largest banks, the largest being JP Morgan, of the nation's 38 largest, 25 of them will now face scrutiny, face supervision that was at or below the levels that led to the crash. These are banks between $50 and $250 billion. Countrywide, for example, would have been one of those banks had it survived. That was about $200 billion. And as we all know, that's the bank that toxified the securitization system with so many bad loans. These are not community banks. You'll see this bill being championed as a help for community banks. These are, in fact, the stadium banks. Of these 25, 12 of them are wealthy enough to sponsor the stadiums of major sports franchises in towns such as Baltimore and so forth, M&T and BB&T. They're stadium banks, hardly community banks.
So they're called stadium banks because, of course, they're big enough, rich enough to sponsor stadiums, have their names on large stadiums. So the bill was sold as a Community Banking Protection Act, but then amendments put in or changes made to the content of the bill to essentially broaden it to include these big banks, some of which, apparently, according to some press reports, some of these provisions which would personally enrich lawmakers?
Well, yes. Some of the lawmakers are themselves invested in some of the banks. It was reported that Heidi Heitkamp has substantial ownership of JP Morgan and Berkshire Hathaway. Berkshire Hathaway, for example, is a major conglomerate, one of the larger ones in the nation, run by the iconic Warren Buffett. It happens to own the largest manufactured housing fund, manufacturer and funder. It's called Clayton Homes. That's one of the most insidious provisions of this bill. You're starting with a fairly vulnerable demographic. Mobile home buyers are people with lower income. The average is $30,000 a year. Some of them are less sophisticated. And there are numerous problems already with this sector. And yet, Clayton Homes dominates, about 50% of manufacturing, 50% of the financing. This bill will allow steering. That is to say, the sales agent will be able to steer the client into one or more of the lenders, and Clayton Home happens to own two of the lenders that, again, as I said, account for almost 50% of the market. So you had asked about some of the senators, and in this case, Heidi Heitkamp does happen to own shares in Berkshire Hathaway.
I mean, and this is why there is the kind of skepticism and suspicion from so much of the American electorate toward members of Congress because of these kinds of links and these kinds of, what seems to be a personal enrichment project. Now, Senator Elizabeth Warren has decided that the better name for this bill would be the Bank Lobbyist Act. She tweeted, Senate Republicans voted unanimously for hashtag Bank Lobbyist Act, but this bill wouldn't be on the path to becoming law without the support of these Democrats. The Senate just voted to increase the chances your money will be used to bail out big banks again. So she is clearly calling out on the 17 Democrats that supported letting this bill get to the floor for discussion. Had they not, had it just been a straight 50-50 vote, what would have happened? The bill wouldn't have proceeded to the floor, right?
That's right. Under Senate rules, there is an ability to filibuster and essentially stop a bill from being considered. And the filibuster can be overcome with 60 votes. So as you know, the Senate is 52-48 Republican Democrat. 51-49, I'm sorry. Thank you, Doug Jones. So you need to get to 60, and that's why it was so pivotal and disappointing that even before this bill came to, began to be debated this week, it had roughly 62 votes in favor of it. A public citizen looked at the funders for the 12, 13 Democrats that supported it. And in nine of the cases, the financial sector is their number one source of contribution. Now, it's true that the financial sector is pretty much the number one source generally in the Senate and in the House. But you would think that there would be some cases, such as agriculture for an Indiana senator or mining for a West Virginia senator. But no, in nine of these cases, even in Indiana and West Virginia, where you have Donnelly and Manchin, finance is number one. If you look at who are the one, two, and three beneficiaries of commercial bank contributions, they are three of the four primary co-sponsors on the Senate Banking Committee, Tester, Heitkamp, and Donnelly.
Wow. Now, these Democrats who did vote for the bill to proceed, did they, as far as you can tell, say anything about wanting to advance or, you know, use their votes to leverage the bill to make it better? Or are they just quite happy with the way it is?
Well, you ask a perceptive question. To lure some of these Democrats into the bill in the first place, before it was introduced in November, there was a negotiation. The Republicans wanted this rollback, and the Democrat found the rollback acceptable, but the price of his or her sponsorship was some slight modest improvement in consumer protection. We assume that quid pro quo negotiation took place even through yesterday and possibly is even happening today, and accounts for four more Democrats joining to make this the 66 votes. It was going to be 62 votes that we knew about, but now it's 66 votes. We don't know what they negotiated because that will come in what's called the manager's amendment. Hasn't been revealed yet, but presumably there might be a few more pro-consumer crumbs in this bill, which is otherwise a lopsided anti-consumer bill.
Now, all of this is coming in the within the context of a very aggressive push to deregulate Wall Street in general, right? And weaken consumer protection, specifically weaken the Consumer Protection Finance Bureau, or Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, rather. How important is it for us to bring that context up, and with all of these multiple assaults on public protections and freeing up of big banks, don't we make another recession inevitable?
If not an inevitable, then certainly we raise the stakes. I think that's an extremely important point, because the Trump regulators, the people that he's put in place of the Wall Street cops, are to a person dedicated to taking down the safeguards. The most conspicuous, as you mentioned, is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Mick Mulvaney. He is making no secret of dismantling this agency, requesting no funding, ending the racial discrimination division, dropping cases of outrageous behavior, cases against companies with outrageous behavior. Every day there's something that Mick Mulvaney has done to take away consumer protections. In the other agencies, that's also the case. So what this bill is doing, and why it's so disappointing that Democrats are supporting it, is saying, yes, we agree with that, Trump regulators, and here's a bill that will ratify what you're already doing.
What impact can Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have on the dialogue? I mean, they've already attempted to shame their fellow Democrats by pointing out that they voted for what's effectively a bank lobbyist act. And the two of them have a lot of clout among the American public, which has given them a little bit more leverage among their own colleagues than before. Can they do anything to push this bill in a better direction?
Well, ideally, some of these senators will change their mind. Another juncture is when the bill comes back from the House. So the House has been passing an avalanche. If this is a toxic stream of measures, the House has been passing a whole flood of bills. In fact, they'll pass four more today that are as or worse than what's in this S-2155. And so arguably, it's possible that the next package will be such that the senators that now support it will back away. And then finally, the third juncture is that on the bank lobbyists' wish list are many more dangerous proposals. And so this effort now to highlight the problems of this bill, we hope will make it less likely that senators will jump on another and worse bill in the future.
Apparently, Senator Warren has a dozen amendments ready to go, she's announced, including one that would impose mandatory penalties on companies like Equifax when they lose consumer data. This was the company at the heart of a big scandal about losing consumer data, as well as another amendment that would prohibit employers from requesting credit reports as part of job applications. So certainly it remains to be seen how all of this plays out. And of course, it's critical. The American electorate is watching, right, as we approach the midterm elections, how their members of Congress, particularly those who are running for re-election, are going to be positioning themselves on bills like this. And the big question is, who is your constituency, Wall Street or voters? And this is where certainly Democrats can have the opportunity to make their case that voters are their real constituency. Any opposition from Republicans, as far as you can tell, or is there absolutely unanimous support for this bill from Republicans?
Yes, that seems to be quite a lost cause. Okay. Elizabeth Warren certainly deserves a great deal of credit. There are other champions, though, that deserve attention. Senator Schatz from Hawaii, Senator Cortez Masto from Nevada, Senator Menendez from New Jersey, Senator Van Hollen. There are others who are and Senator Sanders, of course. There are others who are fighting the good fight on behalf of Main Street against Wall Street. Senator Warren, again, certainly deserves credit. But even as we're disappointed with these 12 or 16 Democrats, we're really pleased that 32 at least of the Democrats understand what American opinion is. By the way, it's not just Democrats, but it's Republicans that believe in strong Wall Street reform. Recall, candidate Trump campaigned against Wall Street. It's just that President Trump is governing on their behalf.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Is there a website that people can go to find out more about this bill? I know that Public Citizen has been following it since it was first introduced in November.
Yes, citizen.org. And we certainly welcome input. And of course, we welcome citizens calling their congressperson. All Congress members can be obtained through 202-224-3121. And you ask for your senator, and they will patch you through. 202-224-3121.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
My guest has been Bartlett Naylor, financial policy advocate with Public Citizens Congress Watch Division. We've been discussing the bill S-2155 that some senators have dubbed the Bank Lobbyist Act. It's advanced to the floor of the Senate for debate and amendments and possibly a vote as soon as the next few days. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.